The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. Hope you're enjoying this brutally hot summer. You know, July had, as of yesterday, they had 16 out of 17 days, or maybe it was 16 out of 16 days, over the temperature was over 90 degrees. And last year, this year, only one day in July, the temperature was over 90. Crazy, huh? Anyway, but we're here. Thank you for joining us. We're here every Saturday from 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4 here on AM 690, The Answer. And as you guys know, Generations Magazine is a resource magazine. If you read closely, we don't write a whole lot of, I mean, I don't write any magazine articles, hardly except for the one publisher's article. But so we bring in expert writers, experts in the field of aging, people that you maybe deal with it. And so we brought in one of our writers here, Chris Duque from the prosecutor's attorney's office. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Aloha.
And so give us, a lot of people know you. You've been on TV many times, radio. Have you been here before? I think
you did
one time, with the other attorney, Scott Spolino?
With Scott, yeah.
Okay.
On another show.
Right. But give us your backwards. I remember you seeing you working out in the gym. Remember back in the 80s and 90s?
And when you had that fitness paper.
Yeah.
And I wrote, in fact, I wrote some articles for you.
Right.
With Joe Mayo.
Oh, yeah. But you used to work out at the old 24-Hour Fitness, right, back in
the
day?
Oh, man, Gold's Gym, all over.
You still working out?
At the YMCA.
Oh, yeah.
Nuano YMCA.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But you were a former HPD officer?
Yeah, I retired in 2007. I joined the police force back in 1965.
Oh. But yeah. you're not 70 yet. You're only 60-something, right?
Yeah, creeping up there,
But you're still going, and you're still in great shape.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you must work out with my friend over there, Curtis, over there at the Y.
Curtis.
My old classmate, Samingit.
Yeah, I'm probably running into him,
you see him over there. But so how did you get involved? Now, at HPD, did you do cybersecurity? Did you do white-collar crime?
Well, actually, what happened was that I got involved, well, I was a traditional detective. You know, I got promoted in 1985 to Criminal Investigation Division and did the traditional investigations, auto theft, burglary, homicide, sex assault. Then I got assigned to the white collar crime unit.
Oh.
And we handled the high dollar scams and investment scams and so forth, embezzlement cases. So one of my cases at that time period was involving an embezzlement where the office manager was using the office computer system to cook the books, you could say.
That's what they do, yeah?
Yeah.
Even a big CPA firm recently.
So they manipulated the books. So the company owner lost close to $1 million.
Wow.
Well-known celebrity in Hawaii. Anyway, I got...
How do you miss $1 million unless they have more?
There was no checks and balances. There's the office manager. She manipulated the accounting. And unfortunately, the CPA didn't follow up on some of the known procedures that industry procedures.
Right.
So that's how she was able to, to embezzle that much amount. Well, she used the computers, and this is no internet back then. This was just a standard.
That's one thing, yeah.
This was in 88 and 89. It's just a standalone PC and a printer.
Yeah.
And the bookkeeping records were kept on the computer. So I had to find a way. Best evidence is not the printout. The best evidence is the computer program, the spreadsheets and everything. So I had to find a way of extracting that computer information and present it as evidence in court. So I went around doing research, talked to my friends.
Learn how to use.
Well, first thing I talked to the detectives in HPD, and the detective says, "What are you talking about?" And so I said, "Okay, you know what?" But before that, you know, I was always involved. Well, I was involved in computers back in 76.
Really?
I started work. My first computer was an Apple, a wooden case, and then I built my own computer from Radio Shack.
Really?
So
wow.
So about the same. So I was involved in computers and playing with computers as recreation before I got in the police department.
Wow, you're amazing.
But I never used it until until I started working cases. And, you know, so anyway, backtrack to the investigations. I talked to some of my friends I knew in the federal agencies. And they too, FBI, Secret Service, Customs, they don't know what I was talking to. Now, one of my friends says, "You're talking about computer forensics." And he says, "Well, I guess what you call them." So he kind of gave me some direction. Uh-huh. And from then on, I got involved in computers, forensics now. Then in 95, 96, which the World Wide Web broke into the scene.
Yeah.
And people were getting on the internet. Then I saw one of the first cases I did on the internet were child exploitation cases where online predators would prey on kids. That was the first type of investigation I did on the internet. But I was already on the internet back in the 80s on bulletin boards.
Well, that's hard to believe.
And I was on bulletin boards, again, not so much for law enforcement purposes, but for my own personal research and recreation. So I kind of knew what to expect, and I knew how the computers operated. I knew how to pretty much how the internet operated, and it was all self-taught. All this information I didn't learn from college. There was no courses. Later on, as law enforcement got on the bandwagon, you should say, I started to seek out training from law enforcement agencies, especially with the federal agencies. So I was blessed in that I had good friends in, at the time, Customs and in the FBI that sponsored me training at the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia, Brunswick,
really?
Georgia. Yeah, he was in the bayous.
Wow, and you're ahead of the game. I mean, I didn't get my first laptop till about 89.
And then the FBI guys sent me to Quantico, and I had some training there. And then, so I was at the, you could say, ground level when
no kidding
involving. So a lot of these guys they've done this type of work. They're now retired, completely off the grid for computer and cyber investigation. Or many of them are working in corporate America because they saw that, you know, after they left public service, the big bucks were there in private.
Yeah.
And some, a very good friend of mine ended up being, you could say, quote, the cyber czar for President Obama and President Bush.
Really?
A personal friend of mine, yeah. And so with that kind of contact, you know, they kind of introduced me to folks on the Beltway.
Yeah. So. But isn't Hawaii such a big fishing pond to go after seniors because of where we're remote, right? Well, a lot of their cyber scams are off people off island, right?
Well, not only Hawaii, but you can see that the general population, the U.S. population, most of the scams are being perpetrated by, you know, there's a big bunch that are being perpetrated by U.S. citizens, even by Hawaii residents. But the big dollar ones are overseas. And that is, they're beyond the reach of the city, yeah, and county of, city and county of Honolulu. And so we have to work with maybe a federal agency. But then again, too, the federal agencies, the FBI, Secret Service, Customs, they all have this term called threshold. So the crime that's being committed against our kapunas, you could say, got to meet a certain threshold.
Which means a dollar amount.
A dollar amount.
Yeah.
In most cases, most of our kapunas are victimized mainly, you know, by some kind of financial scheme. And they report it to HPD, and they'll handle the case. And then when we do the investigation, HPD does it, and they bring it to the prosecutor's office. You know, we determined that the suspects are overseas. Now, if they're on the mainland, okay, we have, you know, we can partner up with the with some of the mainland law enforcement agencies and mm-hmm. attorney general's offices, district attorneys, and we've done it successfully where there's a cooperation between the two different national agencies, and we can bring some kind of closure to the case, to the point where we can extradite our suspects on the mainland, bring them back to Hawaii to stand trial, or vice versa. Like I'm working a case now with the LA District Attorney's Office, where the suspect is in LA, but they need somebody here to interview some witnesses that are residents. Mm-hmm. So I'm working with some of them now. So there's some cooperation in that part. But if it goes foreign, it goes to China. If the guy is coming from China or from the Middle East, from Africa,
Russia,
you know, good luck. You know, I mean, even the federal agencies, they kind of like, okay, you know, they gotta look at it because they got other things on their plate. You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here with Chris Duquet, who actually is a regular writer for Generations Magazine. Chris is an investigator.
Investigator. That's my title now.
Prosecutor's attorney's office here for the city and county of Honolulu. And Chris writes for Generation. So this past issue, I can tell you from firsthand experience that happened to me. The June-July issue featuring the IE family from City Mill on the cover. Turn to page 61, and the title of Chris's article is "Don't Be Duped by a Text Message." And it's interesting because about 4 months ago, I got a text from a friend of mine, and it was a mainland number. Or some foreign number. I didn't check where it came from. And it had, hey, this is Chris. I'm kind of busy, but hey, can you help me out? And I say, well, I'm kind of busy too. Give me a call. I'm not going to text him back. He put in a thing, hey, this is Chris. But the number didn't show up on his regular
your
number.
Your contact sheet.
Contact list. So and I was going to meet with him the following day. He said, hey, I'm kind of busy too. What do you need? So I texted back, what do you need? He goes, oh, I'm kind of busy, but can you get me $500 Apple gift cards?
All right, there is a red flag.
Right there, I go. I know this guy, but I don't know him that well to give you go buy. Yeah. And it was a text message like, "Oh my God, I should have never responded."
Yeah.
Even though I had the guy's name on there.
So with the scammers, the three vehicles that they use to commit scams. You get the old school. It was still being. There's not often, but it's through the mail. Then it's the telephone, you know, a landline, and cell phone.
Cell phone.
And then we get the internet, emails, text message, social media. Somebody messaged me, and I look, and it's like, oh, this is one of my friends. I look at the profile. It's, oh, yeah. Hey, you know, Christian, says, I've been gone off the grid for a while. Been on this Mediterranean cruise, blah, blah. And I messaged back, oh, good for you. How you got the money? He said, oh, I got this money from this investment. Oh, in fact, you should go contact this person. Then they give me the name of another Facebook friend that I don't know. And said, let me make introductions. And then later on, I said, yeah. Then I find out, you know, long story short, I'm getting scammed. And the friend who's contacted me is not actually my actual friend, but somebody impersonating my friend. He creates another account that looks like, it looks like Percy, but there's two Percy. And the key is when you go to their profile page, you've been on Facebook, say, since 2012, okay?
Uh-huh.
This new Percy just got on, like, maybe 1 year or a couple months ago.
You can do that, find out?
Yeah, you just go look to see how long they've been on Facebook.
Oh.
If they've been on Facebook maybe about a week or a month or within a year of the scam, that's a duplicate page. And then, so what I recommend you do is before you do any more communication, contact your real friend, not your Facebook. Because if that's your real friend, you find a way to contact them. You say, hey, person, you know what? Did you change your page or you get two pages and what are you taking back? And you tell them where you're direct. Then he's going to tell you because you cannot report it that your friend is being impersonated. The person who's being impersonated has to report it to Facebook that somebody's being impersonated.
But you know, Chris, I heard this story about a month ago. Same thing happened. My friend goes, hey, yeah, I was on a cruise. Like I made some money after investing. Go contact this guy.
Yep.
Same thing.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But you know, it's amazing. But anyway, this text message I got from my friend. So I actually called him up. Said, hey, what's going on? What's this? He goes, oh, you're the third person calling me today.
They're using. See, what happened is that on the phone number, they got these things they call caller ID spoofing.
Yeah.
These apps that not only can be on your phone, can be on your computer. And what you can do is that you can send a message, a telephone message or text message to anybody, and you can put down whatever caller ID you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, I have an app on one of my other phones, I have several phones that I use for investigations. I have that app on. So I can put down, okay, hey, I can text a message to you and then put down maybe Salem Media. Here's the red flag. Well, not a red flag. If you get a text message from yourself, from your phone, you know you're being a scam. And sometimes the scammers make that mistake.
Oh, do they?
Because they fat finger the thing and they say, I put the wrong number down. That's a red flag. But so you don't know who you're texting. So that's who you're communicating with. So,
but why not? That app should be illegal.
No, well, yeah, we should.
Think about it.
See, the thing is that having the tool is not illegal. How it's being used. And that's the thing is that we got to address technology by itself is not an instrument of crime. But it can be used.
Can be.
So now it becomes an instrument. So you cannot outlaw the technology.
Yeah, I guess.
You outlaw the behavior. And that's what I try to tell people is that, you know, it's not wrong to have social media, to have cell phones, to have certain devices, but how it's used. Because initially, when the device was made or invented, was for productive life, to make our life easier. But what happens, it makes the criminal life easier also.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course, there's some software that's down, is outright, should be, is antisocial. Now that, but it's few. It's few and rare. Most of the technology we have today is for law-abiding purposes to make our life easier, but then the criminal use the same devices to prey on us.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. So I know, so if you're listening today, what I would suggest you do if you have parents or if you're not sure yourself, actually just go to our website, generations808.com. I just did it just now. And in the search bar, just type in Duque, D-U-Q-U-E. And I just did that. And all of Chris's articles come up.
Oh, good.
So it's a great way to find out more information. So in regards to text message, this happened to me a few months ago. And so funny. I called a guy and he goes, yeah, you're the third person today. I said, oh, my God. You better change your number or you're too popular. I don't know how they look on my contact list. I don't know how they got that name.
Right.
Or maybe they went to his contact list and sent all his friends, you think?
Could be. Could be, or he shared the contact list on a Facebook. You know how a lot of times when you get apps, that's why I tell people when you download the app or download a program on your computer, you gotta see what other information that application is collecting from you when you subscribe. They're gonna say, I downloaded an app recently. It has I got the subscription. It goes to, I swipe it left to look for, it says, now, do you want us to share, would you like to share your contact list? So a lot of times folks they say, yeah, because they want to use the app right away.
Right.
And now the app has access to your contact list. Now, if the app gets hacked, you know, or the service gets hacked, now they got your contact list.
Yeah. So for like phone messages, you recommend don't ever respond to anybody that don't know in a contact list?
Good example today. I get two of my friends, both retired police detectives. Now they're in the private sector doing security work. Okay. They gave me the new numbers. Okay. So they called me. I called them back. I called them up. But I never update my contact, my address book yet. So I get the numbers. I look at the numbers. I let it go to voice message. Even people I know, I get your number, you call me up, and I see on the call ID, I see your name come up because your number is associated with my address book. I let it go to Facebook to my address book, my voice message. Because what if somebody got your phone and trying to punk me on the phone. So what I going to get? I'm not going to get his. I'm going to get the phone he used. So I let all my, even my wife, she goes, but she's learning. She does the same now. I call her up. She doesn't pick up on the first call. She let go to voice message. She checks. Oh, it's me. She returned my call. So text messages, you don't have to respond right away. That's what the purpose of text messages. You respond at your leisure. I know how people nowadays, they got to respond to text as if it's like a phone call. Telephone calls, let it go to voice message, even if you know who the person is. Because I've had calls from people who've been victimized because, yeah, I got this call. The caller ID shows somebody in my address book, in my contact list. I pick it up. It's somebody using their phone.
Yeah.
So let it go to voice. I mean, it's the way we got to do business now. It's the way we got to change our life.
Yeah.
You know, so that we don't get victimized.
Technology is good, but there's some downside. So in your column in this issue here, you put in there about some texts will send a hyperlink.
Oh yes.
So okay. The hyperlink is a link that goes to a website or something.
Yeah, it'll show like a www, or it'll be highlighted where an underline the website would be underlined. What happens is that on your phone is basically a computer. You're gonna see the same thing in emails or websites. The person who's sending you the call, the text message, or posting the information on the internet or on your phone, it wants you to click on that link. When clicking on a link, it'll redirect you. It will open up your web browser to the internet. You go to a website, you go to another location, but normally it goes to another website. Now, what happens on that website could be malware, could be spyware, could be things that can infect your computer or your phone. And these malware or viruses, or, well, not so much viruses, these malware or spyware now can gather information off your device, your phone, your computer, and send it home back to the bad guy. So they might have your passwords, your username, your contact list, the type of computer you're using, the type of phone you're using. So when you're typing these hyperlinks, I get text messages. I subscribe to some programs, consumer programs, where you get points.
Right.
And you get free, hey, come in here, you get free half dozen of donuts or sushi or whatever you want. So I get these text messages.
Oh, yeah?
And then I also get hyperlinks attached to them. I just look at them and say, fine. I don't click on the hyperlinks. Well, I go to the site and collect my benefits, but uh-huh. I don't click on the links. When people send me a links, I'm very reluctant to them. What I normally do is that if I look at the link, I don't go on it right away. I go back to my office. I go on my computer. My antivirus is running. My security software is running on my computer. Then I type in. I go Google. In fact, I type in Google. I type in the hyperlink, like www.whatever.com, space, and the word scam. Because somebody may have reported their web link to a scam or antivirus. Same thing with phone numbers. One thing is, if you get one number that you're not familiar with, I get text messages or calls from Kaiser, say to remind me of my appointment. Unfortunately, I haven't updated my address book to show that with Kaiser's number. I'll get a number and it says, oh, 405 something something. I'll go on Google, type it up, scam, and it'll come up. Oh, Kaiser. Oh, it's a legitimate number. Then I call Kaiser. I don't respond to the text message. I mm-hmm. call Kaiser by what I see on the website, not what I see on the phone.
Ah.
Because sometimes you get a phone number from Kaiser, but this is, oh, you, Mr. Duque, your bill is delinquent. Please call us. Okay. You look at the number. It's not the same number as the number on your call ID. Then you run a check, not only on the call ID, but on the second number posted. So, yeah, you got to do your homework these days. You cannot take don't take things you see on your phones, on the internet for granted.
Yeah. And it can happen not only to our seniors, but even people my age or even younger.
One of the recent polls that came up, I think within the last month, that the demographics of the age demographics of the population that getting scammed is not the Kapunas.
Really?
It's not the kids. It's the millennials. You know why? They get that attitude like they know it all. You know that? No, this one.
They get this idea that
I'm never gonna get scammed.
I'm untouchable.
I'm touchable. I know everything, and then boom, they get hit. But
that's a good.
And the thing is that this what I see now. Back years ago, when the introduction of the internet, the kids were savvier as to how to use technology, but they wasn't familiar with. They don't have the life experience to know that they're getting scammed or they're taken for granted. The Kapunas, on the other hand, had all these life skills. Of course, they came from a much simpler and more trusting era, but they didn't have the tech skills. Okay, but now, as time progressed, I see more and more Kapunas have the tech skills combined with their life experience. You know, they started to be more Akamai.
Well, the baby boomers are the ones that are really going to, you know, be the ones that change how we age, you know.
Because the millennials, what happens is they take the software for granted and they take the technology for granted and they want to get on fast. Speed.
Everything's fast.
They don't want to take their time. Whereas for us Kapunas, we get I'm not saying we get a lot of time left, but we're much patient. We go at a slower pace.
Yeah, well, that's why we do the show. We're trying to promote awareness and being safe. But anyway, we're here with Chris Duquet from the prosecutor's office from Sini County, Honolulu. We're going to take a short break. We'll cover more scams and things to protect yourself after this short break. So we'll be right back.
Just one place to stay. Let's party at the Cow. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play.
Let's party at the Cow.
We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Let's party at the Cow.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Have you been looking for a safe anti-inflammatory for your health and longevity? Introducing Xanthosin, a doctor-recommended astaxanthin supplement that supports your joints, heart, liver, and longevity. Xanthosin is safe, pure, and specially formulated for superior absorption. Xanthosin complies with all FDA regulations for manufacturing and labeling. Xanthosin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Available at a GNC store near you.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
A very important period is coming up, what we call AEP, Annual Election Period, from October 15 to December 7.
The annual election period is when you can change from one plan to another. The plans change. The benefits, coverage, and premiums may be different. So know what you should have. What are your current health needs, your budget, and priorities? You need to make sure the medications you are currently taking are covered and that your doctor is in the network you're looking at.
Like we mentioned before, all plans are different. There's no one plan that's good for everybody. Everybody got different wants and needs. Call us and we can help you.
Helping you work your way through the confusion. Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
Okay, welcome back to Generations Radio. We're here with our regular writer, Chris Duquet from the Prosecutor's Office. We're talking about cybersecurity, scams, white-collar scams. But Chris, you know, we're talking about the grandparent scam. That grandparent scam's been around for years.
Yeah.
And it's still happening. I mean, probably more today.
Huh? Well, I had a good friend of mine. He came home one day and his mom wasn't home. So he asked his mom. The mom finally came and said, "Where you been?" He says, "Didn't you hear? You know, your boy's got arrested." I thought, "What?" He says, "Yeah, I was talking to the attorney, and the attorney said that he's representing Jason, and he's." He need to get bail out, otherwise he gonna be held over in Rikers for all that. He says, "What do you mean Rikers?" He said, "New York." He says, "Yeah, but the boy was on a trip in Kauai, Jason." So I says, "What he did was he called Jason. Jason pick up the phone. Then where you at? Yeah. I'm in Kauai. We see fishing. Why? What's up? Grandma got a call. Said you in prison. You in jail in New York." $8,000. She had sent $8,000 in cash to UPS.
UPS?
Yeah, wow. Because that's the direction that so-called attorney gave her. So, you know, the first thing, you know, that could have prevented is that she knows Jason's number, the grandson, okay. So she was going to ask, and the guy kind of knew what was coming up. She told him, "Well, let me go talk to my grandson. He cannot, he stay in a cell. He cannot take no calls." So, you know, she could check first with the father, my friend. "Hey, where's Jason?" "Oh, he's in Kauai. He's not in New York then." But see, you can double check that. But she, you know, again, too, she's from a generation where
trusting,
and she loved her grandson, and she wanted to react. And that's all of these. That's why the criminals prey on senior citizens who have family. They're most susceptible to be falling for that type of scam involving a family member getting arrested, getting hurt, need money right away for some kind of emergency.
How do you think they get the name? Like, I had a family friend, same thing. Yeah, Danny Boy was in Mexico, got arrested. They needed money. And how do they know they have a friend, a relative, or a grandson?
You know, our information is out there.
Address.
Everything is out there. Address, phone numbers.
Maybe even birth date.
And now with social media, our family members, our contacts, who we party with, is all out there. And a lot of it is public domain where anybody can see that. So if I'm targeting you, I can go online to your social media. Of course, some of the kapunas say, you know what, Chris, I don't have social. I don't have Facebook. I says, auntie, your daughter has Facebook.
Yeah, that's right.
Your granddaughter has, your niece, your husband so you may not posting things about you, but your family member or your friends is posting about you.
Ah, got it.
And they might be not as so. When I talk to the kids,
millennials again.
When I talk to the young people, I say, you know what? You're only as safe and secure and private as your friends and family want you to be. Because I can be private, and you know, and so that's why a lot of times, if I'm going to share information, like if we take a photograph, I said, Percy, you know, mind I put this on Facebook, visit the studio, take a picture. I get your approval first. Or if you say, hey, Chris, I can take a picture, I'm going to say, what are you going to take a picture for? Oh, for the magazine. Fine. Because if I see the picture of somebody else and say something to you that would be on a negative subject matter, I can say, okay, the thinking from Percy, I know Percy never gave up. Somebody must have went to your webpage and grabbed it.
Yeah.
So it's two-part now.
I'm sure that.
So when we share information, when people ask for our information, the next thing is, what are you going to do with that information? That's why, you know, that's why one of the biggest things too on the internet is that people don't look at the privacy page, the terms of service. What when I subscribe to Yelp, what are you going to share to your partner? Who are your partners? Nobody reads that, not even me. Actually, the only reason I read it because I'm working a case involving Yelp. So I go look at and I say, look. Okay, this is what we collect. I thought, I says, this is what we share. And this is who we share it to. So now I know why getting all these email for spam and for all this spam. Because they're sharing it. And the bottom line is, when you subscribe to our service, this is what you agree to. Yeah. Nobody. And now, because now I like to take action against Yelp. You say, you signed, you agreed. Look, that's why we share it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with Facebook and all these social
media. And the other thing, too, is who we share information with. Yeah, a good example is just in the news, there was the grand jury. Our office just indicted the four people who was, quote, involved in the Zippy's data breach.
I remember that.
Now, they weren't involved in the actual hack, but they were involved in a way where they – The accounts that were hacked were sold on the dark web. And that's where they got the information. They got the information on the dark web. They got all those credit card credentials and started, you know, using it for fraudulent purposes. So they weren't the hackers. There were people who were using stolen information.
So they're selling it on the dark web.
Yeah. So the thing is, getting back to about securing our data, we share data with other entities. Now, the tips I'm giving to the listeners are ways to protect your data. But what about the people we give our data to? How well are they protecting our data? Is Zippy's protecting our data? Is Bank of America doing it? Is Citicard doing it? So the people who we share information, Facebook, Instagram, you know, all these places or entities we're sharing our data with, are they doing their due diligence protecting our data?
Yeah. So real quick, you brought up a term, the dark web. Not to go off topic, but what is the dark web? What's the email address? Is it www.darkweb.com?
To get to the dark web, you have to go on with you have to use a browser, web browser, that was pretty much designed for navigating a dark web. A dark web, the dark web is basically all that stuff that, if you look at, you know, in theological terms, you get heaven, hell, and purgatory. This is the darkest regions of hell.
Of the internet.
Is the kind of stuff that you can find, whatever bad stuff you can think of, chances are you're going to find it down there.
Really? Okay.
The thing is that I strongly advise the listeners, do not go there if you don't know what you're doing. Do not, because I guarantee if you go out onto the dark, you venture onto the dark web, and with your devices, and you don't know how to protect your device, having just antivirus is not going to protect you. You got to know what you're doing. You go in there, and I guarantee your phone, your computer,
gonna
get infected, gonna get spyware.
Really?
And you're gonna get, you gotta get on your computer. Wow. If you know what you are. I go on a dark web routinely, and I get on my security, and it goes off. It goes off.
Really?
Because sites I'm visiting, people I'm communicating, they want to know who I am.
Uh-huh, right, sure.
They don't know who I am.
Right. Well, that's the scary part. So, you know, one of your articles I pulled up on our website is about importance of documentation.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Oh, well, the thing is that whenever you report it to law enforcement, whether it's going to be HPD or directly to the prosecutor's office or to the federal agencies, mm-hmm. first thing you're going to show me what you got. Show me the evidence of the crime. You can explain to me, but I'm going to ask you to, do you have any documentation? And you're going back to the typical non-technical scam. If you say your bank account got somebody stole money from your bank account, show me the bank records. Show me your statement. Show me something from the bank saying that you're overdrawn. Hmm. And then that'll start the investigation. So when you tell me that, oh, Chris, I got this text messages from this friend who said that they need money for this investment, and I need to use a credit card. I have to send them Apple gift cards. Show me the text message. Because I got to look at the text, one, to validate your claims, because, yeah, we do, people come to our office and to HP and make false claims. So we got to make sure the thing did, in fact, exist. And then, two, also, having that information will allow us to start our tracking of who sent the message. Emails, text messages, phone numbers. If you just have a text message with a call ID, that's going to be hard, okay? Because at least we got the phone number, okay? Say that, let's use the example of the text message. You get one text message from a number called 808-772-1422, okay? You look at a text message, you say, you report it to me, I look at it, and this is, well, Chris, this is the message I got. I look at it, one, chances are that the number is spoof. It's a legitimate phone number, but it may belong to somebody else, mm-hmm. an innocent person. So what now I got to do is that, okay, I'll keep that as secondary evidence. I'm going to ask you, how did you make payment? I made payment with Apple gift cards. How do you make a payment with? Cash. You show me the receipt. Show me that you lost money. Mm-hmm. So that kind of documentation. Now, how did you send the cards? Physical mail. Okay, what address you send them? I gotta track that down. Some of the scammers will say, "Well, you know what? Go to this, email me the code on the back of the cards." Okay, what's the email address? Show me the email address. Show me the email. So all that kind of documentation. If you get scammed, start thinking about, okay, do not, you know, did I delete the message? Do I have my credit? How I bought the cards. Do I have information as to who is it sent? Because I gotta track that. It's all the breadcrumbs that are gonna lead to me getting who the bad person is.
You gotta have all the breadcrumbs.
Yeah. I gotta get, and then what happens is that I gotta see if it falls within our jurisdiction.
Is there a threshold of dollar amount that people?
Well, for become a felony, it has to be over $300.
A felony?
Felony.
$300.
$300.
That's not much.
I know. Okay, but then we get calls for $25 or $50. But depending now, I know, like Scott talked about crimes against the elderly. Some of the crimes, because the victim is falls within that age, there's enhanced penalties.
Well, over the age of 60, right?
I believe it is. Yeah. So Scott is the one that would be the one to say, you know, be the one to talk about more about that, enhanced penalties.
Yeah.
So
that's Scott Spolina, who also writes for the magazine. He's on page 60 this month, and he's the elder abuse attorney.
Yeah. So we'll, in criminal investigation, in our division, HPD, yeah, we'll work the felonies. If it falls within the under $300, it'll be handled by the misdemeanor detail. Now, that's, I don't want to speak for HPD, but back in when I was there, that's how they separated the investigation. Now, the investigator would have to determine, okay, now one, if they'll do the investigation, but as soon as it starts to lead that the money is being sent overseas, if it's been sent to a bank within the U.S., we still can track it, okay? We'll track it up to the point where, you know, if it stops in the U.S., great, okay? But then what we need to do, who collected the money? We got to contact the bank, okay? Whose bank account it is? Was any withdrawals made from the bank account? Did somebody come in and cash it or whatever? Now, if the money is wired after that, a lot of these scammers do is that when we find it to the national bank, we get a court order, we get the bank to provide the records. Oh, money wired to Nigeria, money wired to Japan,
it's always like
China.
Outside
of Once US it price. Goes there, money is gone. But then again, too, we can go. We might be able to go after the person whose account. The national account, say the Bank of Miami is the last U.S. entity to have the money in, whose account, you know, the money was sent to. We find if it's a real person. If it's a real person, we see if there's a history of that person doing it.
Well, it reminds you of that University of Hawaii case with Stevie Wonder concert.
Yeah. So we track. So it's not something you see on TV going to happen. Bang, bang, bang. We're going to catch the guy.
Right away.
It takes several times because if the thing is that when we go after a suspect account, it's not admin subpoena like when I started doing this kind of work, but now it's search warrant.
Yeah.
A little more documentation, and we got to get a judge to sign off.
Yeah. Well, when I first saw that Stevie Wonder ad, that's one artist I've not seen that I really want to see besides Prince, but he passed away, and I was sitting there in the morning. I think it was a Saturday newspaper. And I was showing my wife, this ad is kind of a crappy ad.
Like, yeah.
If it was TV One, it'd be a nice ad. It was like somebody did it off the computer. Like, something's not right here. And sure enough, it turned out to be a scam. I mean, UA should have known ahead of time, vetted everything. You know, it's one thing that we do with our magazine. We try to vet everything that comes in our magazine.
Yep.
And, you know, but.
So with the documentation, I mean, that's critical because a lot of times we got a document, you know, we need a documentation to start off our investigation. One thing got the listeners need to understand that what's important for my investigation or any detective who is doing cyber investigation is tracing the origin of the call, the text message, the email. And that's going and finding and going to the service provider. The service provider is not regulated by any ordinance statute to maintain records. Like the bank they're mandated by law to hold bank records for 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm, right.
The service providers like Spectrum, AT&T, Verizon, they don't have to keep those records for any period of time.
But one thing, though, I noticed that I get calls. You know, I put my number on a do not call.gov list.
Right.
Which really worked. I probably got rid of about 70-80% of my scam calls. But once in a while, you see that potential spam on my caller ID.
Right.
So that I never ran to those. But, you know, the credit reporting agency is one agency that I really got to get. They're selling data. You know, when anybody applies for a car loan or a mortgage, they sell that lead, and that's one thing that's not good. But they got to do an opt-out form, you know.
The industry has to regulate has a possibility because they're the first line that we get to as consumers we go to, and they're the entry point of where our data going to be possibly leaked out.
Yeah. What's some of the more popular? What are some any new popular ones coming up now? Scams?
No, we got the romance scam, the grandparent scam, where a family member is either injured or in jail.
Yeah.
We had the IRS scam, Social Security, Medicare.
Yeah, I had a call from a newscaster that people know, and he said, "Hey, you know, does Social Security? How does Social Security get my cell phone number?" I go, "Why? What happened?" They asked me for they called me on my cell phone number. I said, "Okay, well, what happened was they called me and said, hey, I need your mother's information." I said, "How did he know I was the child of my mother?" I don't know.
One thing about all these agencies, they do not call. IRS is old school. They're going to send you a letter. If they're going to come after you, they're going to send a registered letter.
Yeah.
with a receipt. Yeah. All these agencies, FBI too, they're not going to call you.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not going to call you to say, you know, just and to verify your information like that. They're not going to call. So when you get those calls or you see on the phone, IRS, hang up. See if it goes to voice message. If they want you, it'll go to voice message.
Well, the call ID says Social Security.
Yeah.
I say, what? How do you get that?
Don't pick it up because, amazing. Like I said, the scammers have those applications, those programs.
It's amazing.
To spoof call ID. So we get that. We get the romance scam where you meet somebody supposedly and they develop a relationship. And it's the same type of method that I've seen in child exploitation case where online predators who go after the young kids, the same methodology. They meet, they see them on a web page. They contact them. They start to talk, small talk. See if they come in interest, develop some sort of, not bond, but initial contact with them, you know, same topics, of information, same interests they share, develop communication, and over a period of time, start getting their trust.
Yeah, exactly right.
Same thing they do with the kids, they do with the kapunas.
Well, there was a case on Maui where the guy took like several hundred thousand dollars, right?
Yeah.
And it's just that's one thing. That's why I tell family members, be kind of aware of what's going on with your mom and dad.
Yeah,
see, pay attention.
The middle generation has to do double duty, especially they got to take care of the keiki, and they got to take care of the kapunas.
Yep, their parents.
Yeah, they got to look at both sides. Take care of both of them.
Yeah, but it's just. Isn't it growing? I know Scott Spolino, the elder abuse attorney for the prosecutor's office, saying the numbers are just going through the roof. There's so many more people being victimized.
That's true, and maybe it's also more people are reporting it.
That's probably true.
More people are aware, and of course the population, the kapuna population is growing. So we got to look at all the different. Factors involved when you're looking at stats. So a lot of times I see stats and I look, okay, what else has been on the rise? What else has been increased? What decreased? And maybe that's why we get this spike. But as time progresses, everything going to go up.
Yeah. Well, if you're living long enough, so if you're listening out there, Chris is in the magazine, page 61. He's at a prosecutor's office. If you want to give him a call, it's 768-7400.
Right.
Just ask for Chris Duque. But Chris, yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for writing for the magazine. You know, people love our magazine. They like to read and hold it. You know, they don't go on the internet so much, but, having you write the article and really making sure our kupuna and actually the baby boomers are taking care of our parents need to pay attention, need to be aware of what's going on with the parents' lives, yeah?
Yeah.
So I appreciate you so much, Chris.
Thank you, brother.
Hello to our mutual friend Dougie here. And everybody have a great weekend. Every Saturday from 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4 in the afternoon on AM 690. So have a great weekend, everybody. Aloha. And live well.
Mm-hmm.